This is Mae Warren. Today is, what is it, the 26th of March, 1997. I'm in Lexington, Virginia with Melissa Corson, who is the champion, the star, the hero on campus this week, I think, because you put together a terrific fancy dress. It was as someone who enjoyed herself thoroughly on Friday night. But before we get started on fancy dress, I'd like to ask you a couple of other questions, like where'd you come from in the first place?
Oh, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh. And how'd you decide to come to Washington, LA?
I came to a summer scholars program here, but summer before my senior year, and up until then had not really considered WNL that much, I suppose, except for the fact that my stepmother's father went here and really wanted me to look into WNL. So I came to the summer program and just had a great time, met lots of neat people, and loved the campus and loved my faculty professors that I had that summer, and then ended up applying to WNL and got in. So.
Oh, that's real interesting. You're the first person I've talked to who came through the summer scholars program.
Well, there's in my class, there's five or six of us. I mean, one of the girls I live with, in fact, was a summer scholars with me now. And that's really neat. We weren't even great friends at summer scholars, but now we live together, so it's neat.
That's wonderful. So the program really is a conduit to bringing students in.
I think a lot of the people I know in younger grades, too, there's definitely a good handful from each year's summer scholars class that end up applying and coming to WNL.
So did WNL then become your first choice?
Well, actually, all my life I wanted to go to University of Virginia because that's where my dad went. So I ended up applying to WNL and Virginia and a handful of other schools and got into both schools, but in the end just decided I wanted a smaller school. And my sister goes to UVA, and she loves it, and I know I would have loved it too. It's definitely fun. Can't imagine being anywhere but WNL. And I also like going to UVA to visit her too. So she came to Fancy Dress last weekend, which was fun.
Oh, great. So you both had the best of both
worlds.
Right.
We see each other a lot, but I can't imagine being anywhere but here. I love WNL. So
why do you love WNL?
I just think I love the smallness of it. I love the fact that, I know the president and his wife, and they have had me and my roommates over for dinner, and I love the small classes and the sorts of people that I've met here, and the opportunities I've had to chair something like Fancy Dress, a school-wide event that, had I gone to a bigger school, I probably would not have been involved in. I just love all the things I've been involved in here. I think it's just such a neat place. So.
Are there any particular teachers who've made a difference for you?
Well, I'm an American history major, so Professor Holt Merchant's my advisor, and I've taken pretty much all of his classes, and I really enjoyed those. Also, Professor Delaney, I've taken a couple of classes for. I enjoy the history department so much because the teachers are such good lecturers, and they really make the interesting, enjoyable, the history enjoyable, I think. They make it interesting. I enjoy listening to Professor Machado. He's a great lecturer, too. I like his anecdotes and his stories. Really funny. So,
like what?
Well, I just took a class on the New Deal from him last semester, and he had several speakers come in that had lived through the Depression and the New Deal, and they told stories, and I can't remember any specifics right now, but just he really made the stories he told come to life with the way he described them and the way he framed the stories.
That would make a difference?
Right.
And how about Holt Merchant? Tell me why you like him so
well,
much.
Well, I actually had him in Summer Scholars also. Or he was the head of the Summer Scholars program when I was here, but I had him in my class. And he's just such a fascinating lecturer too, I think. He really, again, brings the history he teaches to life. I like the way he, just the way he talks and the way he moves through his stories and stuff. My dad came to an alumni college program and had Professor Merchant, and also just really enjoyed him. So I just enjoyed having him in the history department, and he's my advisor, so I've taken most of his classes.
Well, good. Yeah, I like both of them a lot,
mm-hmm.
too. Yeah, I've known Barry for a long time. Okay, well, let's move right on into Fancy Dress. So when did you get involved the first time?
Well, I applied for the committee my freshman year just to be a member of the steering committee, and I was one of only, I think, two or three freshmen just my roommate, my next door roommate, knew the chair, so she encouraged us to apply. I just thought it was such a neat thing to work on. I worked on the memorabilia and the t-shirts that year, but just thought it was such a neat activity to work on here at WNL. So then applied again sophomore year and was on a decorations subcommittee, and then last year I was in charge of all the memorabilia, and then it was last year that I decided that I thought I'd like to apply for chair. And at that point I wasn't sure how huge an undertaking it was, but now I definitely know, but I still love doing it and would do it all over again. And also I applied to be chair last spring term of my junior year. You have to interview with the EC, and so.
How competitive is that?
Well, I think it depends on year to year. I mean, there were probably four or five of us that interviewed, and I'm not sure if other years if it's different. If, you know, sometimes there might be only a couple people that apply, but I mean, you definitely have to interview with the EC, and they ask you a pretty rigorous set of questions just about whether or not, you know, what you feel you learned from being on the committee before and what you think your strengths are. So you have to, I mean, I would say it's a pretty rigorous interview, although I knew all the people that were interviewing me, so that was good. But, and most of the people I interviewed against or interviewed with had probably had similar experience on the committee, had been on the committee since their freshman year, or done a lot of work with the committee. So I was definitely excited when I was chosen.
Why do you think they chose you?
Well, I think that I'm fairly organized and come across as the people that were interviewing also knew me through other activities and could see that I was definitely organized and would be able to delegate to a committee of 45 and to manage the big budget and to manage all the different aspects of fancy dress, just because it's not just decorations or t-shirts, it's everything. It's meeting with the administration and it's scheduling with the athletic department and it's getting the tickets printed, and so it's a lot of different areas, and I just think that they thought I would be able to manage all of those pretty effectively. So.
Well, they were right. Well, one thing that I'm interested in, because I'm looking at the broad sweep of history,
right,
is that I've seen some photographs of fancy dress in recent years, and I came over a couple of times while you all were,
right,
finishing up the decorations, and it looks like a pretty feminine endeavor these days. Is that true? Have the women taken over fancy dress for the most part?
Actually, it was funny. We were laughing about that last week. We were wondering, when WNL was all male, who did the decorations? And somebody had told me that some of the house mothers had done a lot of work. And I mean, I'm sure the decorations were not quite as elaborate then, obviously, just because the budget was smaller. And with all boys, I'm sure some of the stuff that we would have done is probably just not feasible with boys. But I don't know if women have taken it over because, well, Joe was chair 2 years ago, and last year the vice chair and the chair and the auditor were all female, but my freshman year when Joe was chair, his vice chair was a male also, and there's still definitely males on the committee. I mean, the construction, the guys that did all the construction for me this year are all male. So I think that, I don't think females have taken it over, but I definitely think that there's a definite feminine influence on all the decorations. I mean, just as far as the, you know, creative aspects and the details of the carousel horses and stuff like that, this year especially, but definitely you could tell females did that. But I'm not sure that, I mean, next year we may have a male chair. I mean, I wouldn't say that females have taken it over, but I definitely think that the decorations have gotten a lot more elaborate and maybe a little more creative since the days that WNL's gone co-ed, since women have had the opportunity to work on it.
I don't know. I've seen
really?
I've seen a lot of photographs of what it was before, and they did a pretty spectacular job back then.
I wonder who did them. I mean, yeah, I'd like to see those photos too.
You will.
Okay.
They'll be in the book.
Okay.
Well, I'm interested in this big committee you were managing. That was a lot of people.
Right.
You know, I look at that list, and there are a lot of people on that list. How did you do it?
Well, we've had the committee since October, so we set up an email distribution list, and I made it clear to them when meetings would be every week, and we pretty much told them attendance was mandatory, and we had them write us with excuses if they couldn't come, just because if they don't come to meetings, you can't communicate with them. Obviously, I can't take the time to call every single person that hasn't been at the meeting. But, I mean, for the most part, the way the committee works is there's the chair, the vice chair, and the auditor, and then there's 45 people other than that. We split up the decorations into the corners of the gym and the big gym, and then the small gym is one person, and then the hallway and the entrance and the balcony. So there's seven different decorations areas, and they each have a subcommittee of two members under each of them. And then invitations are one other area, memorabilia, publicity, construction, and then the guy that books the bands, or the person that books the bands. So they each, I didn't directly have 45 subordinates. I mean, I had more people, there's definitely more of a chain of command, and they reported directly to me whether if they were having problems in their specific area, or, if their subcommittee members were not pulling their weight and hadn't been helping them out. So I kept in close, contact with the subcommittee chairs, and then the subcommittee members were under them. So I had a great committee. Obviously, I couldn't have done it all without them, done anything without them. They were very creative and organized and enthusiastic. And
well, I'm interested in breaking down the room into the four corners. Mm-hmm. Did people come in with drawings? I mean, how do you mm-hmm. know what they're going to be doing?
Well, we also have a decorations coordinator who, after the chair, the vice chair, and the auditor, she definitely, I depend on her so much. She was to help us tidy everything together, to make sure that the gym was going to flow, to make sure that, all the different decorations. People did come in with drawings and talk to construction about what they wanted, and give construction definite drawings. So she definitely knew more specifics about decorations probably than I did, just because she had been working directly with the decorations chairs since the beginning. I mean, I had too, but she had a better idea of what specifically they were going to do in each area. But we require them to come in with drawings, and when they turn in a budget, that has to be itemized as to exactly what they need and the price of it. And they definitely have to put a lot of time into thinking, creativity into what they want to do in their corner. And then, of course, we want to make sure that the four corners don't look just jointed. In fact, the front two corners by the stage, they pretty much did them together. I mean, they combined their efforts and combined their committees and did them together just so that they would flow better.
And how much what is decorations that are created here, and how much are rented and brought in?
I think it depends on year to year. This year, just because of the theme and the way that things worked out, we did rent a lot of the big animal-sized figures. The enchanted castle, which is a natural bridge, the guy there made the horse and the tiger and the big man on stilts, and he just let us rent it, which was great. Mm-hmm. But then everything else in the big gym, the fire truck and the fire tower and the cages, we built that all. And it does depend on year to year, depending on what the theme is, as to how much the committee actually builds and how much we rent. But the carousel horses in the big in the small gym were not ours either. But other than that, we made pretty much everything.
Did you all create the idea of the tent in the small tent?
Mm-hmm.
That was spectacular.
Well, I got my pictures back just from when I was in there in the afternoon, and I took a picture of the ceiling. It just looked so neat.
It was just magical when I walked in that night.
It looked neat with all the lights and the red. How perfect for our theme that the drapery guy could do that.
So who accomplished that?
This company out of Roanoke, it's called Holland's Exhibits. Just a pipe and drape company, and they last year was the first year we draped the gym. We used to paper the walls and do all sorts of things like that, and that just is so time consuming. Not only does the pipe and drape look nice, it takes so much less time to clean up than tearing all the paper down. And apparently they've also run into problems in the past with the paper not being flame resistant and having the fire marshal almost call off the ball in the afternoon of. So the drapery makes it so much easier on us and the athletic tournament and the people that clean it up. So,
well, it just was magical.
Everybody said the red and white was so neat. And apparently the sound guys or the band guys, I think it was the sound guys, said that they had been doing feast dress for so long, and that was the best they'd ever seen the small gym look. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah, it was only my second one, but I said, they're going to have to go a long way to beat this.
Right. It was neat. It just lent itself so well to our theme.
How did you come up with the theme?
Well, every year we have people submit applications, we ask them to put just three possible themes on their applications, and so then we compile a list of 100 or more that have come up during applications, and then the first couple meetings we discuss them and we narrow them down to 10, and then we narrow them down to 5, and the circus has always been one that comes up, it seems like, in the top 5 or top 3, but just the argument against it has always been it's not elegant enough and it's not sophisticated. But this year we just decided that it would be something neat to do, and I think we definitely made it so that it wasn't, I mean, fancy dress is definitely an elegant and sophisticated thing, but it's nice to have a fun theme that people are going to recognize, bright colors and easily recognizable figures and stuff like that. And so we chose it probably right before Thanksgiving, and then been brainstorming ever since about how to carry it out through the gyms and through all the memorabilia and stuff like that.
And how do you keep it a secret?
Well, we just encourage the steering committee really to not tell anybody and to not tell their roommates, just because it is neat. I think that's sort of a neat tradition about fancy dress that creates more excitement about it, because I mean, of course, by the time invitations go out, some people know, and some people will try to guess all year what the theme is, but it's just neat to keep it a secret and build up excitement about what the theme is going to be, and so when people get their invitations, they can figure it out. So we just really encourage people not to tell anybody, but inevitably people will find out, but that doesn't really bother me. I mean, it's nice to just a tip to keep it a secret for as long as we can.
So are there any good themes out there that you all rejected that you think might show up in the future?
There's a lot of Mardi Gras and sort of a Mardi Gras atmosphere, and then casino and sort of Las Vegas, Monte Carlo. That always is one that comes up. We want to try to stay away from a geographical theme this year, just because 2 years ago and 3 years ago we both did the Arabian Nights and then the Paris theme. So, but there's so many great geographical themes, or just the 7 wonders of the world always comes up, and there's definitely lots of neat areas, geographical areas that you could do a theme on that haven't been done in a while. So there's endless possibilities of themes. It's just a matter of finding one that you can carry out through the gyms and find enough decorations, find enough things to decorate about. Be able to carry it out through the decorations and the memorabilia and the invitations and stuff like that. So there's lots of fun themes, and it's always fun. I'm sure I'll be interested to hear what the themes are the next few years, just because I'll be able to say that we thought about that one but decided not to do it, and what if we had done it. So
you think you'll come back?
I'd love to. Yeah, I was thinking. I imagine then on the 100th annual fancy dress they might have a big celebration. I'd love to come back to that. I definitely, fancy dress is such a neat thing. Some of my friends that were alumni came back this year and had even more fun as alumni than they did last year, not even more, but a lot of fun too. So I'd definitely love to come back.
Do you know, I'm sure you do, that originally fancy dress started in fancy dress, in costumes.
Mm-hmm.
Had in the years that you worked on fancy dress, was there ever a discussion of trying to bring back costumes?
No, it's never come up in the steering committee. I got interviewed for the Ringtone Phi last week, and she asked me if I thought that costumes could come back, but I'm not sure how feasible that is for the entire student body. But I think it would be neat to try to do it one year. I'm not sure, again, it would be neat, I think. I'm not sure if everybody would really want to do it or if they'd cooperate, but I think that's a neat, such an incredible thing that it used to be a costume ball and that people used to, bring in dates and bring in costumes and have the costumes waiting for their dates when they got here. I think that
they rarely fit, from
right,
what I understand.
Right, sounds like that's probably a pretty big risk you take, but it would be interesting, definitely, to be able to do that again.
Well, the pictures are just marvelous.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I, I'm really pushing hard and hoping that we'll do it in 1999 for the 250th anniversary.
That would be neat.
I think that would be a blast.
That would be fun. That would be really fun.
Maybe reestablish the tradition. But I'm sure you're right. I'm sure it's going to be a very expensive thing to do.
Right.
To bring in all those costumes. But I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It would be fun.
So what's next in your life? Where are you going to take all these management skills?
I'm going to enjoy spring term and enjoy all my free time for a while, but I'm planning to go home for the summer and travel and sort of goof off and enjoy my last free time. And then in the fall, I'm moving to Washington, D.C. to work for a law firm as a paralegal. I lived there this past summer and worked for the same firm. And so I know I don't want to be a paralegal for the rest of my life, but I know I can do it for a year or so and sort of establish contacts in Washington or figure out something else I want to do, whether it be there or whether it be back in Atlanta. Mm-hmm.
Are you thinking about law school?
I'm thinking about it a little bit. Honestly, I don't want to go right now, but maybe working in a law firm will change my mind that I do want to go, or maybe it'll say, no, you definitely don't want to go to law school. I don't think I want to go right now, mm-hmm. but I haven't ruled it out. So I'm very excited to be going to D.C. There's so many fun young people and so many WNL kids there. So I'm looking forward to life after college, even though I know I'll be missing it next year.
From what I hear from especially recent alums, you'll be missing
it. Oh, I know I will be. Yeah, my friends all say the same thing. I'm definitely, you're always ready to move on to another stage in your life, I guess.
So what other things besides fancy dress have you been involved in here?
Well, I'm a member of Kappa Kappa Gamma, and so that's definitely been a big part of my college experience.
Why?
Just because of the leadership of opportunities I've had there and the friends I've made and just the things I've been able to do through Kappa, through the Greek system in general, I suppose. I mean, just being involved with, girls with their similar interests and the experience of going through Rush and then conducting Rush on the other side has helped, just learn a lot about human nature and about different kinds of people, I guess. And also just the philanthropy opportunity that I've had through Kappa, going to the Mayflower and making Valentines and carving pumpkins with them. And
who's them? Tell me what Mayflower is.
Mayflower is the nursing home here in town. And we go there to make Valentines this year, and every other year we've gone to do pumpkin carving and just make them makes them smile, and it's neat to be able to just go there for 45 minutes and be able to affect them that way. Just other things, being a leader in the sorority, being an officer, working with the 15 other officers to direct and run the chapter, I've learned a lot about working together with a group like that and being able to cooperate and being able to all use our interests for the best of the chapter. I've learned a lot about just being a leader, delegating to a committee there on a much smaller scale than Fancy Dress, but still to get to conduct initiation was my job, and that was a big job and obviously something very important to the life of the chapter. So I'd be able to delegate encourage the entire chapter to participate in activities. And just the friends I've met also through Kappa have been really neat. I love being a part of the Greek system. So,
was there ever a point where you questioned whether you wanted to be in a sorority? Was it a decision for you?
No, I don't even think it was a very decision. Just coming from the South, sororities are sort of a big deal. And my mom was not in a sorority, but most of my friends' moms were. And I definitely knew that I wanted to at least go through Rush when I got here, because it wasn't until January, and so being here in the fall made me see the kinds of girls that were members of the Greek system, and I knew it was just something I wanted to go through, and then never had any doubts about rushing or pledging Kappa. So,
tell me about Rush. What happens during Rush?
Oh, it's the freshman dorms, the freshman girls are just so chaotic, and everybody's nervous, and it's very hectic, and you don't get any work done because you're going from party to party, and I mean, it's a neat experience, let alone the fact that you meet so many upperclassmen women as a freshman in January, I mean, I didn't know a whole lot of people, just friends of friends that I'd met during fall term. So it's an opportunity to meet people that, you know, and then to be able to see these same people over, I mean, at a big school, you probably would never, you could feasibly not run into people you'd met during rush, but here, just because it's so small and such a tight-knit community, you run into the people you've met, you know, the very next day on the hill or at class, and it's neat to be able to at least, even if you didn't end up pledging your sorority, you still end up building relationships with these people that you've met, and it's not as nearly as competitive here as Russia is at a big school, or nearly as exhausting, I don't think, but I mean, I would recommend it. It's definitely a neat experience. Something that, you know, let alone the fact that you're just going to meet people, something neat to do, I think.
Now, the women were having rush in January,
mm-hmm.
but now back then, like the men having
it. Fall rush.
So what was that like?
Well, the guys had got to school and within 2 weeks had pretty much pledged their fraternity. You know, they were going to be a part of it for the next 4 years. So all fall term, they were busy with pledge stuff and busy with their pledge classes and their pledge brothers and their fraternity brothers, and we were not part of a Greek group yet, but I mean it was not that there wasn't any sort of conflict between guys and girls. I mean, it didn't create any sort of problems having them rush in the fall and having us rush in January. So
how did you decide which sororities to join?
Well, just through the week of rush, I mean, I just had met, I was just so impressed with Kappa's, the way they put on rush, and you could tell that everybody just, you know, got along really well, and that they weren't putting up a front, it didn't seem like, for the rushies when I went through, and just, the girls I knew fall term, a lot of them were Kappas, and I just was impressed by the way that they interacted with each other and interacted with the rushies. You know, everybody seemed very comfortable and at ease with one another and with us as rushies. And so I just decided, I thought that was the group I wanted to be a part of. And
so how would you characterize the various sororities?
I think that, I mean, there's probably definitely stereotypes about the four sororities, but, or the five sororities now, excuse me, now that Kappa Delta's here, so. But I think that, all in all, I mean, WNL sororities are probably fairly homogeneous, just because the student body is fairly homogeneous, and that the five groups of girls, I think, get along really well. I mean, of course, there are rivalries, and, excuse me, there's competition during rush, but, I mean, I think, as a panel in a Greek system here, I think we're pretty lucky to have five groups of girls that are all, I mean, outstanding women in parts of all groups, and everybody seems to get along fairly well, and the campus is not divided among the five sororities, I would say, at all. I mean, there are definitely rivalries. I mean, obviously, there are going to be rivalries during rush, but I think we're lucky to have five such outstanding groups on one campus.
So are you going to characterize them for me?
Well, I just think there's simply stereotypes, but I mean, those are, of course, blank. They're not blanket stereotypes. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I'd rather have a woman characterize them for me than asking a man to characterize them for me. But I understand if you're not willing to do it.
Well, I just don't want. I'm not exactly sure how I would characterize all five of them, so
okay.
I'd rather not leave anybody out.
Okay. I'm interested in that rush week, because when I first arrived last year, I can remember one night as I was leaving work, I often work late, and one night as I was leaving work, everybody was all dressed up. And it was a weeknight, and I'm going, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. It's just everybody looked completely different
right.
than they had 2 hours earlier.
Right.
What's going on there? Take me to that whole thing.
Well, there's four rounds of parties, or that's right, four rounds of parties, and they get progressively, the parties get smaller in number as the sororities release girls, and girls release sororities. It's a mutual selection process, so mutual releasing going on, so they get smaller, and they also get more formal, and longer periods of talking. And the first night's very casual, just sort of an open house is what it's called. And it's just, most of the sororities have a little song, and a little 10-minute song program that at the end of the night. And then the second night is skit night, which is a lot of fun because you can really, you get to see, I think, the personalities of a lot of the girls in the skits that they do. The Kappas do a Kappa bandstand, which is a lot of fun. We have four different, you know, decades of four different groups representing the decades, and their songs and their dance routines and stuff like that. And that's probably the most entertaining night for the Rushies and for the chapter, just because it's so fun to be able to get up there and perform like that, and just be able to, you know you're having so much fun, and the Rushies can tell that you're really enjoying what you're doing also. And then the third night is Sisterhood night, which is a little more serious. There's a few, there's less Rushies there because people have been released and girls have released, you know, sororities that they're not necessarily interested in, so they don't go back to all of them. And then the last night is called Preference Night, and it's probably the most serious, when some groups of women really sort of put on pressure on the Rushies, and others sort of just make it known that we'd like to, that they want you to be there, but they don't pressure you, and that depends on sorority to sorority, I think. I think our group does a really good job of not pressuring the Rushies, just making them feel really welcome and having them feel like they know that we really want them there, but you know, we're not going to hate them the next day if they don't pledge Kappa. So I think that's something I pride Kappa on. I think that's a really neat way to do it.
Now, I'm trying to understand, this is happening campus-wide during 1 week.
Right.
Well, it's so changed. How do Rushies be five different places in one night?
Well, because they have 40-minute parties, and you have a 40-minute party, and then you take a 10-minute break and go to the next place.
So these skits get done over and over again that night?
Well, when I went through Rush, I think they did the skits 4 years, four times, I mean.
In one night.
And then my sophomore year, I think we still did it four times in one night. And then last year, they finally have cut the number, as the number of girls disappears, or as the number of girls lessens, they allow the sorority to have fewer parties. So last year we only had to do it three times, and this year we had to do it three times. So by the last party, you're pretty you're pretty punchy, and everything's funny, and everything's very exaggerated, I think, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, thank you. That really helps me. I've been trying to understand
You have an alternate. I mean, you go with a Rush group, and you have a rotation group, and you have a group of freshmen or Rushies that you're in a group with, and you all go to the same places together.
I see. So you're assigned by Panhellenic
right. Into
a group
right. To
move around as a unit.
Correct.
Oh. Okay.
And then you have different. You know, one night you may go to Kappa first, Kyler last, and the next night you may go to Pi Phi first, and you know the order varies every night also.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, this makes a lot more sense to me. Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome.
Has been very mysterious to me. I came through college in a time when sororities practically didn't exist, and they didn't exist at my school, so it's all very mysterious. It is Greek to me. So this is very helpful to me. So have you been involved in any sports?
Not varsity sports, but I've played intramurals through the sorority.
Now, what kind of sports do the sororities play?
Well, the women's intramural program is trying to gain strength and get a lot more participation. I think last night some girls played some indoor soccer, but have played iron basketball is very popular with the girls because it's fun to get out there. And, I mean, I played basketball in high school, but haven't played here, obviously, competitively, but it's fun to be able to get back out there and play. And we went bowling for IMs the other night, so they also have touch football and soccer and just various other sports. So those are sort of fun to, not, I guess, a scenario when the stories get sort of competitive, just because it's fun, I mean, you know, to get out some aggression and get out there and be competitive, even though you know once you walk off the court, it's all going to be fine again. You're not going to, you know, be carrying any grudges. But I haven't played any varsity sports or any competitive sports here, but to play the irons and definitely like to exercise a lot.
Well, I think that whole program is really great.
Mm-hmm. It is. The men's IAMS programs, they get really competitive and we keep point totals and everything, but guys' IAMS, especially basketball, I know it gets really competitive. But again, something you know once you, nobody holds over any grudges after they leave the court, which is neat, I think.
So how aware are you this point, 10 years, 11 years later, that this place was once all male? Does that theme still, is it still an undercurrent here, or is that gone?
I would say, I mean, I think it's still an undercurrent, but it doesn't make me uncomfortable. I don't feel any resentment from my peers, because obviously they all came to that being all knowing it was co-ed. And I don't even get really a sense of resentment from any faculty members that I'm aware of. I mean, I'm definitely not uncomfortable. I think some older alumni, there could be some sort of, not resentment, but just definitely an awareness of change and an awareness of how different this place is since there are females here now. But I think there's definitely an awareness of the fact that WNL was single sex at one time, just because of, you know, the traditions. And for example, in the gym, all the athletic plaques are all male teams and all male, you know, members in the Athletic Hall of Fame. But I'm not bothered in the least bit, you know, by it. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. And I think that the university does definitely celebrate the fact that there are women here and that the great strides that the women here have made. So I mean, I think you can't help but be aware of the fact that WNL was once all male just because of its history, but I would say that's it's such a neat place now for women to be that I think that women, for the most part, don't feel resentful or don't feel any resentment from anybody here, I would say. I mean, I'm sure there are some that do, but I don't.
How about relations with girls from the other schools, from the women's schools?
Well, we joke about them, but I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of girls from both schools just because of the fraternities where I usually am. There's a lot of girls from other schools there, and I mean, they're such neat people too. I mean, they've made the choice to go to a single-sex school, and that's wonderful. And you know, they come here to visit, just like if I went to a single-sex school, I'm sure I'd come here to visit. So there's not. We joke about it only when they get dates to things, and WNL girls don't. There's a little bit of resentment there, but for the most part, I mean, they're definitely neat people too and nice girls that I spend time with when they're here, a lot of them, so.
I assume that fancy dress is the time when that gets to be an issue?
Yes, I mean, there are definitely a lot of girls from other schools here, and we always joke that we can tell when people are hunting for dates because they all of a sudden show up here en masse with, you know, tons of girls in tow to parties like the week and the week weekend before fancy dress because they're trying to get dates. But that's sort of a joke. I mean, if they're, you know, I'd like for them to come experience it too. I think that's neat, and I would of course want to be here if I didn't go here. I'd be wanting to get a date to fancy dress or to any other date function. So there's not hatred between WNL girls and Rhodes School girls at all. So
one issue I didn't ask you about when we're talking about sororities is the idea of sorority houses. What's the feeling among the women?
Well, we're all of course very, you know, excited and anxious about getting houses, just because the facilities we have now, while they're just not adequate for what we need. I mean, they provide us a place to store things and to have meeting space that the whole chapter can't even fit comfortably in.
What kind of facilities do you have?
We have suites in Gaines Hall right now, which have a bedroom and an office and a big living room. And it is good. We are able to have our computer there and have a copy machine there and keep files of all of, you know, all the paperwork that we need, and storage space for rush materials. So in that vein, they're excellent, because we used to have to rent storage space in town to keep everything. So, I mean, they're definitely a nice thing to have and provide us with small meeting spaces and a bedroom for when we have Kappa traveling consultants come visit, they can stay there. But I think that once WNL does decide to get sorority houses, I mean, all the women will be ecstatic, just because, you know, most of us have friends at other schools where they have sorority houses, and they just provide such a neat, a gathering place, a meeting place, a place to eat and socialize and stuff like that, that WNL doesn't have right now.
Is there a place on campus where you all are hoping the houses will be, or do you know anything?
Well, just from what I know, the proposed location is the area behind the law school. It's called the Piney Woods. It's sort of back behind the law school and near the student pavilion, which is, it's very woody right now, but it obviously would clear it out, and I think that would be a good location on campus because of the proximity to everything, and it, all the sorority houses would be able to be in one area, which would be sort of neat. It would foster definitely Panhellenic spirit, I think. But that's the only location I've heard of so far.
They're going to build a second footbridge?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Right.
I doubt it, seriously. Well, and so at this point, to have parties, what do you all do?
We have a lot of parties in the old Delta house in the basement. Since the Delta Tau Deltas have left campus, that facility is now available to sororities to have parties in their basement. So we either have them there, or sometimes we go to Zolman's and have them at Zolman's. Or when we have mixers, we generally have them at the fraternity house, you know, with the fraternity we're mixing with, so that makes sense. But there aren't a whole lot. We have a spring formal that we have outside at the Dell, which is nice, if the weather's nice. So, I mean, there definitely are still locations to have parties, just some of them are a little bit restrictive.
Each sorority has a formal in the spring, or do you do them together?
No, each sorority has a formal. I'm not sure that everybody else has a spring formal. We have a fall and a spring, so I don't think everybody else has a spring formal. Some people have had formals in January and stuff that we haven't had.
And you pray it doesn't rain.
Right. If it does rain, I don't know where we got. Pavilion probably would be the next location.
Mm-hmm. How do you book Zolman's? Parties just seem to happen
I've always been curious about that. You might have to call Mr. Zolman.
There really is a Mr. Zolman.
I know there is. I've not met him or had any contact with him, but I'm pretty sure there is. It's not through the school. I don't think that you'd book
No, I'm sure it's not, because it's a private. That's a big deal that it's a private place.
Right. Mm-hmm. There must be some way to book it. I think you could call Mr. Zolman.
Okay, I need to flip the tape over.